Okay, we're back to Senior Talk Radio 88.1, Project Independence and You. And we've been talking with Judy Beiser, who's a clinical professor of pharmacy at St. John's University. And we're going to continue the conversation with Judy and Judy.
Yes.
Discussing interaction. Go ahead, Judy.
Yes, I wanted to come back to the topic of the interaction. Unfortunately, my brother-in-law spent 3 months in a hospital last summer, and we realized more and more how you have to be your own advocate, or my sister was actually his advocate, because there are so many physicians coming in to treat him and different nursing staff, and they would ask the questions, but they never read his charts. Mm-hmm. And there were many times when my sister caught the professional short and said, well, what about this medication, and shouldn't he be doing this and that? So you really have to be extremely careful.
Yes.
And aware.
And you're right. You have to be your own advocate. But I guess my question would have been, where was the pharmacist in that
right.
hospital, and why weren't mm-hmm. they looking at the profile?
Right.
We have built into most of the pharmacy systems interaction programs, so that if I'm entering in the next drug and it interacts with something that's already there, there's an alert. Unfortunately, there's so many alerts that people get alert fatigue and they just click override. So I think one of the things you can advocate for if you're in the hospital is say, can I talk with a pharmacist? And can the pharmacist come up and review my medication and talk with me about it? One of the things that I do when I'm at the Stern Center, part of North Shore LIJ, we review everyone's medications when they're admitted to the facility, and we call it medication reconciliation. So we look at what were they taking at home, what were they taking in the hospital, what are they taking now during their rehabilitation, to make sure that we didn't miss anything and that everything that's there is supposed to be there. So the role of the pharmacist in the community and in the hospital, nursing homes, very, very important, particularly when it comes to senior care.
Yes.
We're part of the team.
Well, it's good to know that you have that kind of a setup.
Yeah.
What do you do at Stern?
I run the students program there, so I have pharmacy students in rotation with me, but I try to see every patient when they're admitted to review their medications. And
terrific.
I work with the
okay.
physicians and the nurses and answer any questions and any problems people have with medication. Talk to the patients, educate them about new medications they're taking, make sure that their pain is well managed, that type of thing.
That's a very nice plus. I didn't, like that's tremendous.
The pharmacist is really being integrated into hospital settings like that, but particularly geriatrics is so well suited for that because older people are taking more medications and the physicians realize the role of the pharmacist. So I've been doing this for many years, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Well, from a senior perspective, I know a lot of seniors do take supplements. We started mm-hmm. talking about that. And vitamins.
Yeah.
And my question is, because I've heard it so many times, can you take too many? Take vitamin C. Take plenty of it. It makes no difference if you have a cold.
You can take too many vitamins.
Okay.
So I'll take vitamin C. Now, most of vitamin C, I say, if you're taking a lot of vitamin C, take a look in the toilet. That's where it goes. That's what you've been spending your money on because you just urinate it all out.
Okay.
But if you do take very high doses of vitamin C and you're not drinking enough water, you can end up with kidney stones. So, particularly if you have a tendency towards kidney stones. Certain of the vitamins that are fat soluble, like vitamin E, vitamin D, these are vitamins that you can get toxic. Vitamin E, they thought was going to be...
I'm sorry. You can get toxic.
You can have toxicity. You can have side effects from them. You can have too much in your body
okay.
because they stay there. They don't get urinated out.
Oh, okay.
Vitamin C.
Okay.
Vitamin E was one where we thought it was going to be helpful for Parkinson's disease. They thought it was going to be helpful for prostate cancer. And they actually found the patients who were taking higher doses, more than 400 units a day of vitamin E, actually had increased death rates. And that was associated. It wasn't a direct cause.
Okay.
So when
okay.
we do these studies, they look at associations. So the Iowa Women's Health Study was one that looked at a lot of vitamin use. And they found that the women who were taking multivitamins and extra vitamins, actually, they had a higher death rate. Wasn't causing it, but it wasn't helping them.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Right.
So I've worked with dietitians, and I think the best message is eat your fruits and vegetables. That's what your mom told you to do. And that's where your best source of vitamins and minerals, because that's the natural source of it. And when you take a vitamin in a pill, it's separate from all the other stuff that's in that food.
Okay.
And so your body's going to probably deal with it differently. And you're dumping it in. We're even looking at calcium. We say, oh, all older people should be taking calcium. And there's been concerns that is it better to get your calcium in your diet where it's kind of more gradually absorbed into your body than taking a pill that it's dumped into your body. So that's a question that's still, you know, unanswered. But we do know that vitamin D and calcium are important for bone health.
Okay, so therefore, if I'm making this up. Three oranges is equal to one vitamin C pill.
Whatever
it is. So you're basically saying the person should, first choice, go for the three oranges.
Right, unless you have, you know, diabetes, you shouldn't be taking so much sugar.
Oh, let's not confuse everybody now.
That's a different thing. But yeah, but it's, your body's going to probably handle the vitamin C differently.
Okay.
And it tastes good.
You know, I understand that part of it. No, I agree. And that's why, obviously, there's regular, you know.
And I see older people sometimes, and younger people too, spending so much money.
Oh, it's a huge business. It's an industry.
It's huge. Millions and billions of dollars. They're spending so much money. I say, take that money, go to the fruit and vegetable store. You know, go to the farmer's markets that are being set up now all over the communities. If you do buy vitamins, the one thing to look for, because it's not regulated by the FDA, you want to look for what's called the USP verified seal. It's a little round thing, and it says USP on it. It'll be on the label of the vitamin.
Okay.
And that's one where you can say that they know that there's some standardization. Because they did one study where they looked at, like, how much vitamin D was really in all these different brands of vitamin D, and it ranged all over the place. So look for the USP seal.
Okay. Because actually, in the last year, I don't remember it directly, but there was a big scandal on Long Island in the last year, if I'm not mistaken, a drug manufacturer, like a second or third tier, that the stuff wasn't legit. Putting labels on it, it was...
You always hear these stories.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does... I didn't realize that USP kind of a thing existed
even. That's... The other vitamin that you will... Many older people may get recommended to take is an eye vitamin, an eye health vitamin. There's things like Ocuvite, PreserVision. I'm not pushing any brand,
right,
but these are just
fine.
Some of the names you might hear to prevent macular degeneration.
Oh, okay.
And that, there are some good studies with that. So if your eye doctor recommends taking one of these eye vitamins, I'm okay with that.
Eye, like it, E, vitamin E, this is.
A, C, E, and lutein, zinc. They have different ones, but I'm saying some of the brands, I as in E, eyes as in your eyes, which you see. I call it an ocular vitamin, an I vitamin, not as in letter
I thought you meant
I.
The letter I. That's why I'm saying, like,
there
A,
is
B,
no I. There is no vitamin I.
Okay.
Now, you can get toxicity from too much vitamin D. And yet it seems to be the deficiency du jour. You know, everybody's deficient in vitamin D, and then there's false tests, and you're supposed to get it from sunlight.
Yeah, we don't get enough sunlight for the vitamin D.
Well, what do you do in the winter when everything, including your nose, is sometimes covered?
Right.
Does the skin have to be exposed?
Technically, they say that if your face and your hands are exposed for like 20 minutes a day, that's enough. But it really probably isn't. And depending on, you know, the angle of the sun and everything. So many people do take vitamin D. There was just an article that came out. I didn't get a chance to read it about the recommends for monitoring and screening for vitamin D deficiency. But I do recommend it, and it's an easy thing to take. And then they check your levels. We want to get, you know, doctors generally, we want to get to a level about 30. I actually had a patient yesterday of 77, which was like, whoa, what are they taking, and how did they get there?
They were in Florida.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it is something because vitamin D helps your body absorb calcium, and that's why we take vitamin D.
There are two kinds of calcium, the calcium citrate and calcium carbonate?
That's right, yeah.
Is one better than the other?
If calcium carbonate requires acid in your stomach to be absorbed. So if you're taking an acid blocker, something like Prilosec or Protonix, Nexium, you probably want to take the calcium citrate because that can be absorbed even without acid. And the best time to take calcium anyway is with meals because you'll tolerate it better and your stomach's going to secrete more acid anyway. But reading the calcium labels are tough, and that could be a whole nother talk because they talk about how much calcium carbonate, but how much is you want to look at the true amount of calcium in it. So like calcium carbonate, 650 milligrams only gives you about it's about 400 or so of even less than that.
Calcium.
200 or so of calcium. Yeah, so you have to really read the labels carefully.
Well, that's the
good
one thing you're stressing.
Good to know.
Yeah, no, it's the label reading, because you get these things. And obviously, if you're taking the Prilosec and then you get the citrate, it's it. Then it serves no purpose.
No, the citrate is the one you want to take.
Oh, that's the one you want.
Yeah.
So that's, again, when the pharmacist should come in and
say,
what are you taking
One you take? And you don't know, and you don't have to always buy the brand. That's the other thing, too. Hmm. With prescription and over-the-counter, you can save a lot of money by using the generic. Or like if it's over-the-counter, what I call the house brand, whether you're at Walgreens or Pathmark or whatever.
Right, right.
Because they're just as good. They're pure. You want to look at the expiration dates on them, and but you could save a lot of money that way.
Right. On the generic today, especially like Costco, you're right, and all these different places.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the label and you make the comparison across.
Right. And if you're not sure, take the bottles up to the pharmacist and say, is this the generic equivalent of what I want?
Right. And generic prescription drugs are just the main drug is off patent. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that it? So therefore, you know, the exact same stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's a white, plain white tablet instead of a pretty blue tablet. And the labeling is more simple. But it's the same drug.
Right. And especially for seniors on various health plans.
They require you use generics.
Because, I mean, some of these pharmaceutical bills can be very, very high, and it's prohibitive.
Yeah.
So you have to go for the generic, but you have to understand that generic is just as good.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people get nervous because it's not, you know, not Wonder Bread. It's whatever the other brand was.
Exactly.
But anyway, Judy, I want to thank you so much. This has been so informative. And I know you've been on the show before, but I haven't been here with you, and I'm learning. And honestly, that's the main thing. Everybody, you know, last week we had Iris with the golden nuggets. Everybody learns something every time somebody's on the show. And I appreciate your help very much this morning, Judy. And we're going to be taking a break, and we'll be right back.